Say this with me. Say, today, touches from heaven on the inside of me will completely revolutionize my thoughts, my plans, and my actions. Pray in the spirit about it. And we don't need another pep rally to get you to pray about your own life. Go ahead and pray it through. And seal it up. Completely revolutionize my thoughts, my plans, and my actions. We thank you for touches from heaven this morning. Mama Shandra Kolo Mandra be saying today. Moro bo colo no mo no no mo shandro. Moro bo colo mo sandro colo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mama Shandra Kalara Bo Sandro Kolo Mandra. Ma Shandra Kalara Basandra. May shade the Kale Bodro Kolo Maha. Thank you that we're sealing it up on the inside of us. Mama Shindere Kleri 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 Kleri. Amen. Say this, clarity is my divine right. Through Christ, I will clearly see what life is really all about. Pray in the spirit about it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive the mysteries right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the last one, listen to me, bring a little oil. The last one is very simple and very short. But it's very deep. It's very powerful. All right, so we're going to say this, and we're going to say this from ourselves, and we're going to pray about it. Like we mean it. Revelation has to be unfolded to you. You don't just stumble upon revelation. You don't just stumble upon deep things. Right? They're revealed to you and opened up to you. So on that last one, we'll say it. Put it back on the screen. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Come on, say it a little louder. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Just a little bit louder. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Let me know your love.
Let me know your love.
Now go ahead and pray about it. Wow. Let me know your love, Lord. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow. Allow me to know your love, God. Wow, 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 wow. Maradarabo Shotoro Kola Masindri. Lord, let me know your love. Lord, let me know your love. Come on, pray about it. Come on, come on, come on. Maro bo shodro kolo mandra da kala da da ba sandra. Mono no no mo shodro kolo ro ro bo shodro kolo ro. Moro bo shodro kolo mandra da kala da kala da da da. Na 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 da ba sindra de kele de mo shodro kolo. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. Ma shandra de kele. Mama 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 sandra da kala da da ba ba sindra de kele de de. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You may be seated. Lord, let me know your love. Go ahead and say it again.
Lord, let me know your love.
If you only knew. If you only really knew. And had a clear grip on how much God loves you. If you could just grasp a little bit of the concept of how much God loves you and how much he cares for you and all the things that he's already done for you. If you only knew, if you could grip that just a little bit, then your life would change. Only if you knew. I wrote the song and I said, there's a song, there's a line. This is not be writing stuff, I don't be knowing what I'm saying. It sounds cool at the time, but then it comes later on, you realize you really said something. And it says, if you only knew it, if you only knew who you were, if you only knew who you already are, Just if you only knew that. And there's a lot of principles we go through and a lot of things that we, a lot of prayers that we pray and a lot of steps that we go through to try to get things done, although it's already done, amen. Everybody say it's already done. There's a lot of things we go through, but just if you would only know that. If you take a little time to let God reveal his love to you. A lot of the things you have going on in your life, a lot of the habits that you're trying to break, a lot of the things that you want to happen in your children's lives and in your family's lives come from a revelation of how much God loves you. Look at your neighbor and say, he really loves you. Look at your other neighbor and say, he loves you more than you know. Now we hear that most of the time, most of our confession is, not, like I said, most of our confession is, God, we love you. We love to say that one, don't we? Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. But rarely do we say, God, I know that you love me. God, reveal your love for me to me. Just show me a little bit of it, God. So let me give you a little, we have some visitors here. We've been going over grace, by grace through faith. The Bible says you are saved by grace through faith. Everybody say, by grace through faith. I'm going to say it again, by grace through faith. This is how you were saved. You were saved by the amazing grace of God through the faith that you connected to the grace of God. Now understand this, it's already done. Everything's already done. All the stuff you believe for, all your dreams, all the stuff that you're praying for, all the stuff that you're struggling trying to get, it's already done. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant that. It was done when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the dead. Everything that you ever would have needed in life had already been finished for you. And so now with that concept, you know, if I look at that and I say it's already done, but then I look at me and I realize there's so many things undone. Can we be honest about it? I know even my mom, there's so many things that are undone, untied. They're just undone things that should be happening, should be going on to have. When I look at that, I realize there's something that I got to do. So now it's by grace. Everybody say it, by grace, through faith. That means my faith, my actions. I'm trying to go over this quick before, so I can get into what I'm saying. My faith, my actions, faith without works is dead. So my faith, my actions have to be connected to the grace of God. Grace without faith is nothing. Faith without grace is nothing. They have to be connected. Can you see the trick that's been playing? The enemy's been playing tricks for years to get you to be separated. So it's already done. Everybody say it's already done. I want to be clear about it. Some people may not understand everything that you need or desire or looking for is already done. So all I got to do is direct my faith in the right direction. I got to put my faith in the right place towards grace so that all the things, he showed me something, and I don't know if I described it the other night, but I'll say it again. He showed me, I was in the video room, and he showed me, this is how he described grace and faith to me. It was like a glass, it was like a ceiling. I don't know if it was glass, because I'm telling you, it's like a vision. The material that I was touching wasn't like hard to get through. It was like a ceiling. Like, just imagine a ceiling like right over your head, and it's just full of water. You ever went through the aquarium and you walked through a little tunnel, and you walked through the little, all right? So it's like a whole ceiling like that, right? Just full, just flooded. Just waiting for somebody to make a hole. For that to come on down through. It took me to Malachi, bring you the tithe to the storehouse. You know what I'm saying? He said, I open up the windows of heaven, right? Yeah. Right? He started telling me that. He said, now, you know, it's all right there. And it's not hard to break through. But what determines is by the hole that you decide to make. Now, some people stick a needle in it. And so they get a slow drip, the needle faith. We just do a little bit, so you get a little bit. Remember, what measure you meet is what? Measured unto you. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be it unto you according to your faith. Sometimes he told me to stick a needle in it. I saw the little drip. I imagined it like the needle. Well, I know what the kind of drip, then it'll be a drip. Drip. Sometimes life feel like that, don't it? Huh? The manifestation that you know God is big, right? You know he got more than what you're seeing, right? But sometimes drip. Right. Be it unto you according to your faith. Right? But he said, you know, if you can, I had a fork in my hand at the time he talked to me, right? So he said, you know, if you can, you poke, you get a little hole right there. But see, you know, you go up there, you just move it around a little bit and make a hole big enough, then everything that's on the other side of that is already yours. Amen. It's already there, Blake, you hear me? It's already there. But you, by your faith, by your action, have to access it. You, by your faith, by your action, have to receive it. Are y'all with me? So now my question is, where do I put my faith? I don't want to go deep into that, but where do I put my faith? Which way is my faith going? Which direction is my faith going in? What am I giving most of my actions to? I preached a message Wednesday night called How Much Is Enough? Like, how much prayer is really enough prayer? How much study time, how much church is really enough? How much dedicated and really seeing what God is saying is really enough to meet the requirements that's required of me? Scripture is Luke 12, and I don't have time to go to Luke 12 for today. He starts talking about the ones that know better. They get many stripes. Then at the end of the scripture, it says, to whom much is given. I can't hear you. To whom much is given. Say it again. To whom much is given. Much is required. So that means if I've been given much, much is required of me. So now my next question I always ask is, well, what's been given? How much has been given? It all. All of it's been given. By grace, everybody say by grace. Come on, say it again. By grace. Say, I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, there's another scripture that says, it starts talking about faith. And the only way it works is how? By love. Faith works by love. Everybody say faith works by love. Come on, say it again. Say faith works by love. Now, what you got to understand is, I want to take my time to really talk about it, because you have to really realize and you have to really get it how much God really loves you. In 1 John 4, it says it's not that we love him, but that he loved us. Further on, the scripture says we only love him because he first loved us. We don't really have anything until he gave it to us. So now it's really, our faith is really a response to his love. It's a respond. Everybody say respond. It's a doing it again. It's sending something back that was already sent to you. When you're showing your faith and when you're showing your love to God, it's really you only flipping back what he gave you before. You ain't got nothing on your own. You know that, right? Hey, can I get an amen? You ain't got nothing on your own. I don't care if some of you worked 30 years. You didn't do that on your own. There ain't nothing that you did. You didn't even get here to this earth on your own. But if you get it, like if you only understand, if you'd only let the Holy Ghost, Romans 5 and 5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If you would only allow the Holy Ghost to spread abroad in your heart the revelation of how much God loves you. God is looking down on you and he sees a beautiful thing. It's a trick. Oh, wow. It's a trick of the enemy for you not to understand how much God loves you. If he can get you to pay attention to something else other than the fact that God just loves you like you are. Right. Flaws and all. God loves you unconditionally. You know, people say that unconditional love and I love him unconditionally. Well, you don't have that capacity to do that. You know that, right? Do y'all understand what unconditional love really is? You know what unconditional love is? Unconditional love is no matter what happens, I'm going to stay. I don't think we got the capacity for that. I know y'all could be spiritual, y'all won't. My trail ain't got it. There's certain things that you're going to do that I'm going to have to take a step back. There's certain things that's going to happen that I'm going to be like, I ain't fooling with you no more. True or not true? Have you ever dropped any friends before? All right, you don't have unconditional love then. And there's nothing wrong with that because you're not built like that. You ain't the most high. You don't have the capacity to do it. But God, in all of his greatness, in all of his highness, loves you no matter what. Can we go back? Can we just use your mind for a second and think about that time that you were unlovable? What is it? Lord. Think about that time that you were unlovable. If you think you ain't never been unlovable, that's yours right there. Think about that time. I can think about the times. I wasn't a lovable one. And then God will speak to me. I almost broke out crying just now. God will speak to me in a moment that you, like, I didn't pray enough this morning, God. I didn't really do enough. I didn't do enough to get that. I didn't. How much is enough? I don't know how much is enough. I don't even know if I got that. But then you with all your love decided to come and talk to me. Of all the people in the world. I know they got people doing other things, man. Of all the people in the world that you want to talk to, you take time to talk to me. You talk to me even when I didn't initiate the conversation. You just decided to start talking to me. Then you gave me something deep, and I'm like, whoa, I don't know if I was that deep to receive something that deep, but you spoke to me because you love me. Say, God loves me. Come on, say it to yourself. Say, God loves me. He loves you just the way that you are, flaws and all, but you got to understand. Let me preach to you. Can I preach to you this morning? You've got to understand the love of God. Even the angel said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? This flawed creature, this creature here that's keep on making mistakes. All through the Old Testament, they was making mistakes. And they got to send another prophet and send another prophet because they don't want to listen. And they don't want to do what they told. Come on, it's us, amen. It's us, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. All through this ain't listening. They missing prime time. They do it. And God said that his love don't change. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. His love don't move. I know God is not up there. We've learned a God that is up there waiting to punish us. We learned that in old church, haven't we? God is up there waiting to try to see if you're faithful enough so he can do something for you, right? No. It's already done, right? Is it already done? So if it's already done, then God has already made up his mind about what he wanted to do and how he's going to do it. It's already made up. He's not going to change. If he changes because of something that you do, you become God and he becomes a servant. Remember, if he start doing something because of what you do, that means whatever you did dictated to who he was. God too big for that. God don't let you go. God don't let you go because you fall in sin. God loves you unconditionally, and he's never going to stop. Listen to me. He's not going to ever stop. You can think about the most despicable thing you can do, and God loves you. John 3:16, go ahead and say it. That's enough right there. We ain't got to go to the gave his own begotten son. No, just for God so loved. Not love, but God so. God loves us so much, unconditionally. Oh, if you only knew. I'm going to keep saying, if you only knew. You remember that song? Oh, if only you knew. You remember that song? Yeah, some of y'all remember. Don't act like you all spiritual up in church right now. I don't know what that is. You're lying. If you could get a grip of how much God loves you, I don't think that too much is given, much is required. And we know God has given us everything. He's given us all his love. But I don't think that you can properly respond to God in faith without having a revelation of how much he loves you first. Because faith works by what? Faith works. Faith actually works by love. Now, that's not your love you're talking about. Your love is spotted up. Your love is choppy. Your love is conditional. Your love is sometimes. Your love is maybe. Your love is how I feel today. That's where your love at. Can we be honest? Yeah. Come on, y'all. Can we keep it 100? Yeah. If we can keep 100, say yeah. Listen, we'll just keep it 100. Your love ain't all that. I be telling people when they want, you know, all right. What you need to do is make a profession of faith to God concerning that person when you marry. Look at this person and make a profession of faith. Where your faith supposed to go, though? To grace, huh? If I make a vow to God about something, then I'm going to hold it. Because it ain't sometimes. I make a vow to you and you make me mad, then I'm not going to fulfill what I got to do because you made me mad. Now we fussing. You know, they say that this ring is not a shackle, but it's going to be a shackle. If somebody don't show up where they're supposed to show up when you told them to show shackle. This woman staying on your side. Now, come on, I'm doing the vow. Can I do the wedding vow? Can I do the vow? The woman staying on your side, not under your feet. But she's going to be under your feet. if you ain't connected to God properly. If you don't pay attention to what, look, the day that she do something that you don't like, you're going to try to put her under your foot and hold her in place. That ain't your place. Make a vow to God. God's love, everything that we do, our love don't matter unless it's built and rooted in the love of God. I have to love you through the revelation of God's love to me. If I don't do it that way, it won't hold. It can't make it. It is not built to last. You know you're not the Alpha and Omega, right? Come on over there. Y'all know you're not the... You know you're not the beginning and the end, right? You know you're not the Most High, right? So you can't do it. You can't do it without him. It's the love of God. Our love is just all over the place sometimes. There's all kind of ways. We don't even know if some of that's love. Come on, y'all. We're going to keep it one and then we're going to do it. But if I just, I could get a grip. My faith works by love. My faith works by love, but not by my love. By the love of God. Your faith will work better if you had that revelation. I think that Wednesday I was saying how much is enough, and I realized I know that we don't. None of us give enough. Amen. I want to make you say something. Make you acknowledge. Make you acknowledge that you know you don't give enough. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
But I believe the problem is because you don't know, you really don't have a revelation of that love. I found out something about Apostle, man. Thank God for Apostle. And he'll always, I might be getting ahead of myself, but he'll always tell his story about how he got born again. And how God saved me. He'll tell me some stories sometimes about the times he's supposed to die. And he died. I'm not here. He died. Ain't none of this here. And he'll tell me stories about how God saved him, how God called him off the plant, and how God saved him, and what God told him. And he'll recount his day that he got born again. And he said from that day he never went back. I said, wow, how did you do that? He understood the love of God. That day, the love of God touched him that day in a special way. And it gripped him and made him appropriate his faith. This is what I'm saying. You got to hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. The love of God caused him to appropriate his faith. It demanded a response. That's good. It demanded him to respond in a certain way. It wasn't because he was trying to be spiritual, because you hear his story, and I don't have time to go into it. He'll tell it way better than I can. You hear his story, he wasn't spiritual. I heard my daddy say this one time in church. He said, I didn't hear any of the Bible stories until I was 25 years old. He said, I don't remember seeing a Bible in my house. He said, but the love of God, the love of God, everybody say the love of God. Come on, say it again, say the love of God. The love of God pierced through his understanding. He said, the Lord called him to preach. He said, hold on. He said, hold on, how you gonna use me? Because he knew who he was. He knew what kind of life he had lived. He knew some of the things that weren't so kosher, like kosher. He knew some of the things that wasn't kosher of a reverend that he had lived before. God, you sure you don't want to use somebody else that ain't never had those problems? I never had those issues. God said, no, I want to use you. Wow. And then that love of God, for God to say he's going to love me despite of me, and despite of my record, for God to say he's going to love me in spite of me, that demands my appropriation of my faith. That for you to tell me you're going to do that for me when I didn't do nothing to pay for that, we live in a commerce society, so, you know, we pay $20, we get $20 worth. You go to the gas station, I want $30, you get $30 worth of nothing more, nothing less. And so we're so used, the enemy has deceived us to get so much on this system that we don't understand what it's like to receive and then appropriate. We live in that. We live in exchange. We live in exchange. Are y'all hearing me? We live in exchange society. Ain't no exchange. You don't have enough to exchange to God. But you got your all. I can give up everything I got. And for God to love him that way demanded an appropriation of faith. It demanded him to act or function or go back to God in a certain capacity because God loved him. The love of God pulled on his faith. To the point where his faith couldn't go nowhere else. Question, how many of y'all born again? How many of y'all saved? You saved, right? Who saved you? Who saved you? Yeah, God through Jesus saved you. Ain't nobody else saved you. None of the other stuff saved you. Ain't none of them other people saved you. Ain't none of them other jobs. Ain't none of the other stuff. None of that saved you. God was the one that saved you. That salvation, that love for you in spite of you, that love for you is supposed to pull your faith. The love makes a demand on your action. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now put your finger there. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm trying to get somewhere, we are somewhere, so that's cool. Jeremiah chapter 29. Y'all know this is your favorite scripture, amen? Ain't it your favorite? But you got to understand. You got to understand what it's saying. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you what?" Go ahead and read it. You read it together. Ready, read. Says who? Okay, keep reading. I know what I think about you already. I've already decided how I think about you. I've already made a decision. Listen to me. As far as covenant is concerned and as far as connection, God says, I've already made a decision how I feel about you. And ain't nothing you gonna do gonna make me change my mind. I know. Everybody say, I know. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, said the Lord. I don't think the Lord confused. He said, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Up at the beginning of Jeremiah, he started talking to Jeremiah. He said, before you was formed in the belly, I knew you. Then he started talking deep. He said, I sanctified you. Before I got here, you mean in your heart already, you had sanctified me? You mean in your cosmic plan that you had already made, you had sanctified me and you ordained me a prophet to the nations? Without me going to school? I hadn't been to school yet, Jesus.
That's good preaching. Come on, man.
I didn't do it yet. I didn't go through the steps yet, Jesus. I didn't go through the steps, Lord. I didn't handle it. But before all that, Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. Just keep your finger there. We'll go back there. Let's skip there. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. When I pray, there's a resounding theme going through the entire Bible. There's a class I teach called Living by the Book. And there's one chapter, and it's just one little smaller part. I think it's one of the most important parts in the book. And it says we must approach the Bible and read the Bible for the love story that it is. I know the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth and all that cool stuff people come up with, right? But the Bible is a love story. It's a resounding theme from the beginning to the end. The message is still the same. It goes on and on saying the same thing. It's a love story. God is just trying to show you how much he loves you. You hear me? God is just trying to relay to you how much he really loves you. When I pray, remember when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and when I'm studying, we're not trying to get God to do something because it's already, right? Come on, I'm going to change your prayer time, all right? I'm going to change your prayer time a little bit further in a minute. But we're not trying to get God to do something, are we? Because it's already. Is it already done or not? It's already done, right? So because it's already done, when I'm praying, what am I doing then? When I go to study the word, right, when I read, what am I doing? If it's already done, then what am I doing? I know I got to do something, but what am I doing? So now my prayer time, the scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, all right? And another scripture says building up yourselves on your most holy. Now you know faith works by. All right, so you know what's being built up in there, right? So building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when I pray, Tanya, this is what I'm praying, that's what I'm doing. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. When I'm reading the scriptures, when I'm studying the word of God, I'm just renewing my mind. Renew. Everybody say renew. I mean, it was new before, but somehow it got old. Now, I'm going to tell you how it got old. The whole system. The whole system is feeding. The enemy is tricky, boy. And he's been setting traps. It's traps that you don't. That's why I said about clarity in the seals. That you get clarity because they got some things that's tricking you that you don't think is tricking you. They got some things that you think is harmless that's really harmful. Harmful, like full of harm. It'll be the small foxes that spawn. It'll be a little tricky stuff. And they say, well, it's not that bad. It's just entertainment. Yeah. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to help. Listen. So when I'm studying, I'm putting my mind, I'm renewing it. I'm putting it back to what he wanted in my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Philippians 2:5. I'm putting my mind back in that place to where I can think the thoughts of God and know really what he's saying about me. Really how he feels. I read this, so when I'm reading it, that's what I'm doing. I'm not reading for duty anymore. I'm not praying for duty. Well, come on. I'm praying to get something done. No, it's already done. So my praying doing something else. My study time is doing something else. Now it changes now. Now it changes things now. I remember it used to be a toil. It used to be a push. You need to pray. You need to read the word, right? You need to do all these different things. You need to read. And so it's a toil. It becomes a duty. Anybody ever felt like it was a duty? Come on, be honest. Like a duty, you didn't feel like you wanted to do it too much, right? Well, it's only because you had a misconception. Remember, nothing's wrong with, I said this Wednesday, nothing wrong with the roads. We just been on them the wrong way. Nothing wrong with the road. We just been facing the wrong way on the road. And so we've been toiling. How long you been toiling? Toiling and pushing. Trying to push your prayers through. Push yourself to study. Well, it becomes different now when I begin to do it because I'm really trying to realize how much he's loving me. It becomes different now when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and now it's really opening up on the inside of me God's love to me. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I really want to know more. I want to know more. I really, can you open it up for me, please? Everybody want to be loved. We do all kind of stuff all day long. We search high and low to get love when you loved already. Don't tell me you don't want to be loved. Don't tell me you don't want some real love. Don't tell me that ain't the truth. The realest love there is the love of God. So now when I go to the scripture and I read those scriptures and I pray in the Holy Ghost, all it's doing is opening up God's love to me. Do you realize, God, dog, Do you realize that all that stuff you've been trying to get to work, if you realize the love of God and let him reveal that thing to you, all that stuff will open up for you. All the things that we search for, the enemy, the society, the enemy, the system, they got us running after a lot of things. They got us running after a lot of stuff, and they give us a whole bunch of rules on how to get them. It's a trick, because you already got it. It's a trick because is it already done? Yeah. So if it's already done and I already got it, then anything that's trying to make me get it is a trick. Here it is, CJ. You know what it is? You know what it is? It's a sleight of hand. Look at this hand. I slap you with this one. You see me? Huh? Because you ain't even see it coming. So it's a sleight of hand. If I get you to look over here, you'll never see I'm slapping you on the other side. You ever feel slapped down before in life? Has life ever slapped you down before? Can I get an amen? Has life? Life has slapped all of us down because it's sleight of hand. You look over here, you don't see my hand in your pocket. If I could just, whoa, look at this hand right here, whoa, look at this hand. This hand over here doing the dirty work. And you don't even know what's happening to you. But the love of God brings clarity. Ephesians 3, woo, verse 14. And verse 14 is powerful. Put it on the screen. For this cause, put it on the screen. Come on, hurry up. I know y'all trying to get it up there. For this cause, y'all just look at it. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause. Of whom the whole family of heaven and earth, that he was granted to you according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Okay, now rooted and grounded. Not dancing around it, but rooted and grounded. Huh? Not acting like you found it, rooted and grounded in love. Are y'all with me? I am rooted and I am grounded for this call. This is why I bow my knees. This is why I start praying. For this call, this is why I pray. Are y'all with that? Y'all hear it? This is why I'm praying. This is why I'm praying. That I may be rooted. For this call, I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that I may be rooted and grounded. Now, if you consider your ways right now, are you rooted and grounded? If a plant is not rooted and grounded in the soil, it will not produce. It'll never blossom. Oh, yeah. It'll never blossom. It'll never yield. You come on. Go, come on. Put an apple seed just on top of the ground out there. It'll never take root. It'll never be grounded, and you'll never have any fruit. You'll never be able to blossom. The beauty that you are will never be seen. Unless you be rooted and grounded. Remember, now God has already got the plan. He already know how beautiful your flower is. He already know how much fruit he already wants you to produce. Because I know the plan's already. He already got that. But by grace, it's already done. But through faith, I've got to be rooted and grounded in that love. I see your prayer time going to change. Your study time going to change. Because now you're not doing something because you're supposed to do it. You're doing something because you get to do it. Remember, God is going to be God all along, whether you do it or not. This is what God is saying. I'm giving you an opportunity to get in on what I done for you already. Which is why you see some people excel and some people don't. Which is why you see some people raising the things of God and some people don't. It is not because God has favor, because God is no respecter of a person. But he respects faith. Grace respects. It's because I bow my knees. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, as you being rooted and grounded in love. May be able, verse 18, may be able, oh God, that you might be able. You really can't do it. Right? You really don't have the capacity in your mind to really understand how much God really loves you. All right? But that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Wow, 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 wow. And to know the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ. Look at it. And to know the love of Christ. Which does what? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And we read across this stuff real quick. A lot of us pray this prayer every day, but we don't slow down. That you might be filled with all the fullness. You know how full that is? Can you, the fullness of God. The fullness of God. You're going to be with all the fullness that you might be. The reason the Lord showed me how to read the scripture covenant wise. I know the scripture says don't take nothing out, don't add nothing in. but he showed me how to read it in a covenant mindset, because if it's already done, then I already am. So ain't no might about it. Ain't no may about it. So the reason scripture got to put may and might in there, because you got choices. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say it again, freedom.
Come
on, say it again, say freedom.
Freedom.
Now, freedom is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing in which direction that you use it in. Right? Because you have a freedom to make the right decision, but you also have freedom to make the wrong one. You also have freedom to go left instead of right, even though you need to be going right. And so the reason they keep saying might and may, and you may receive, and you might receive, and you may be able to comprehend, you might be able to comprehend it, is because you got a choice. I'm going to look at your neighbor and say, you got a choice. You've got a choice on what you're going to do. Now, one of the things I love to say all the time, we're going to read in a minute some more, but one of the things I love to say all the time is, if you don't like what you got, do something different. You don't like what you're producing. You're trying to bake a cake. And you only put, I don't know how many eggs are required for a common day cake. But let's say you're supposed to put four in there for four or five of them, but you just keep doing it with one. Just keep putting one egg in. I know what Pastor said, but I'm going to put one egg in. I know what the instructions say in the Bible, but I'm too tired. I'm just going to put one egg in. I know what measure it meets, right? Making a cake, right? I know what measure I meet is measured unto me, but I got some other stuff to do, so I'm just gonna put one egg in. I'm not gonna let it stay in the oven for it told me 35. I'm not gonna let it stay in there that long. Then you come out soft and loose and draining, and there's no stability to your life. Because I ain't got time to read all them scriptures. Send no doggone group me in. You don't know what I got to do tomorrow? You don't know how much I got on my plate? What plate? What plate? What plate? Your plate. Who gave you that plate? No man ought to think, Romans 12, no man think more higher than he ought to think, but think soberly. Don't be drunk. Think soberly. God has told every man, come on, calm down, calm down, come off your high horse, calm down. You put one egg in. And so know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's another one of our favorites. Amen. Verse 20, read it. Verse 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What he's really trying, he's just been filled with all the fullness, right? Been filled with all the fullness, right? But then he says, I'll fill you with all the fullness, and then I'll still do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. In other words, my love is exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think about. But just think about me, please. Could you ask about me, please? James 1:5 says, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth freely and upbraideth not. Can you please ask? And I'll do more than that. Matter of fact, I've done more than that. I've already done more than you can ask or think. I found out how God thinks. This is how I started making decisions and stuff around here. You got some grand thoughts. You have these grand dreams and grand thoughts and all these different things and all these different things you want to do. And I realized that when I thought of them, I realized that they wasn't big enough. Because he just said exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
So now my job is to read the word of God, renew my mind, pray in the Holy Ghost, let him shed his love broad in my heart, and wait for instructions. This is why mediocre comes from that. Like regular life. Like it's not, come on, you know it's not what it's supposed to be. That comes from that. That comes from your plans. That comes from your decisions. That comes from, trust me, you make some decisions. The scripture says, many are the plans of a man. The scripture says, there's a way that seemeth right. It seems right. It seems like the right way. But then thereof is death. That means no fruit, no production, no growth, no reproduction. It's death. Cut off right there. It's your plans. This cause right here exactly is why I bow my knees. This is why I pray. This is why I take time to just make the time. Watch this. Matter of fact, I don't make the time. All the time is the time. Meditation. What's meditation? I try to help people out. What's meditation? Sometimes you think you got to be right there with the Bible and you right here with it like that all day. But I know you can't do it all the way because sometimes you got to go to work, right? Right? You got a job and different things, right? You can't be like that all day. But you know, when that word is in your mind and you memorize some of those scriptures, you can go over them and over them again. You can go over and over again. It'll get to the point where you're going over them so much that you don't really want to hear anything else. Other things, can I talk to y'all for a minute? Other things really become dull. I don't care about that. Well, you touch people, it starts sounding like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah, wah. I don't even know what you're saying. I don't even know what you're talking about right now. You still talking about the same stuff you were talking about last year? Please, can we talk about something else? Please, can we do something? Can we do something different? Are we still dealing with the same problem that we got last year? Please. The love of God advances you. The love of God propels you into another place. Everybody wants progress. Well, the love of God has the ultimate progress. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I don't want to hear that song no more. That song is the same song that he made last year. That show is the same show that was on 10 years ago, just redone. They got cell phones on there now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same. Listen, can I tell you about the enemy? Watch this. He don't have nothing fresh. He's not the creator. So if you're not the creator, then you can't create. Are y'all with me? So if he's not the creator and he can't create, then he can't really make nothing new. So if I keep getting tricked, now before you get tricked, stop thinking about you fell off in some sin or something overboard. You know, we like the overboard sins, right? No, let's not think of that. Let's think about the little thing that you should be doing that you ain't doing, right? Or let's think about the little dedication that you could be having, but it's just keeping you making you a sluggard, right? Right? The enemy ain't got nothing new. So that means the thing that he's tricking you with is a recycle. That dirty dog keeps spinning around with the same thing. He come back with the same thing. If he trip you with it once, he gonna come back with the same thing. You have delivered. The scripture says that. It says, be mindful. And I'm paraphrasing. You know, when you sweep the house clean, when you send the demons out of the house, be mindful. You need to fill it up with something. The fullness of God. You need to fill it up with something, because if you don't fill it up with something, they say that the enemy, they're going to leave for a season. But they're going to come right back around, and if you don't know what's going on, you're going to fall for the trick again. it'd be that same thing. If you had a problem with that, and you say, I'm going to beat it. I got it by faith. I'm coming to church. I'm going to get it together. I'm reading the word, and you get a little freedom from it. Then you're going to come back with that same thing. And listen, I know it to be a fact, to be true. He do it all the time. You just don't see him because we don't have the clarity of love. And so he keeps tripping you up with the same trick. He's making circles. He don't have nothing new. He don't have no fresh moves. It's the same stuff. And I bet y'all can sit down. I bet if you go back and look at it, it's the same thing. We don't pay attention enough because we just don't pay attention enough. The same thing. It's the same little circle. It's the same little trick. You know, I can't pass to the next grade until I pass this test. Come on, can you wave your hand? Wait, come on, wave your hand at me. I can't go to the next grade until I pass this test. It don't matter about none of the other tests. I can't go to the next grade. I'm not going to the next place until I pass this test. So he got you everywhere else. He got your mind. Oh, God, Jesus. I was flying. I got a little time to say. Write this down real quick, and I'm going to give it to you, then I'm going to jump to the next part. Write this down. Love is the beginning of genius. Let's write it down. Love is the beginning of genius. You're going to take this, go meditate it on your own time. Love is the fuel for our faith. So we got love is the beginning of genius. Love is the fuel of our faith. And write this down. Love is faith's battery. Now remember, as you write these things down, remember, it is not because we love him, but because he first. I remember when it's referring to love, you know what I'm saying, it's talking about his first. You get it? Matter of fact, the love that you're giving back is only what he's given you already. All right? If we base it on that love first, before we try to base it on our own humanistic love, and we base it on the love of God, then we'll get the progress that we need. Are y'all with me? It's a trick. He tricked us. Tricked the enemy, tricked us. I was flying. I was telling the story the other night. I went and bought this, and I told it the other night, and I really wanted to get into it. I bought a drone, one of those little drone things that fly across, and they got the cameras on it. I bought one last week, you know, just to do some different things, get some different shots, and just take video or whatever. So I just wanted to get it and just try it out. So we got it. So myself and Darius went out the other day, and we were flying it, man, and it's got a little remote on it where you can fly it. It got a little screen where you can kind of see. You can kind of see what's on there and kind of see what the camera's shooting. But, you know, he flew it across and we flew it up in the air. And we were just excited that it was flying. I was just excited that I didn't crash it, right? I was just excited, like, wow, like it's flying. I was a toy to me. I was playing with it. Just, oh, look, it's flying. But then we brought it inside and we downloaded the video. It's got a little chip on the inside. You can download the video. When I downloaded the video, I was able to see this whole ministry. From a bird's eye view. I was able to see it from above. Y'all stick with me. I was able to see it from on high. And I saw it and I said, boy, like I felt like I wasn't even here. Like I come here every day. I come here every day. I'm here all the time. I didn't walk around the flowers and the fountains and everything. But I'm looking at that and I thought I was somewhere else. Come on now. I didn't even recognize where I was. I said, God, dog, look how pretty. Look how pretty these flowers are. Look how beautiful this fountain is. And then Darius looked at it and said, boy, this church big. I said, well, yeah. But you can see all the buildings. And it's just from a bird's eye view, you really see what I always tell people, you know, when you drive up on this campus, you're driving up on a miracle. That's right. Sometimes you can forget where you're at. You can get so used to something. Amen. Huh? Amen. You can get so used to something that you forget how great it is. Amen. I think flying across, and I downloaded. I said, man, this is beautiful. I said, I need to show my mother. I wanted to send her a video, and I tried a video to show my mother. I was like, man, look how pretty. Now, I'm standing. I'm looking at the video on my phone, but I'm standing there looking at the flowers right here, and it don't look like that. It don't look all that great. But I'm right here. I'm standing right next. I'm at the flower right here. It don't look all that great, but then when I look at it from on high, I see the beauty of it. When I look at it from another level, When I look at it from a place that's higher than me, then I can see how beautiful a thing is. You know, a lot of times relationships and different things of that nature, and we family and whatever, you don't really know how special that person is in your life because you're looking at them from right here. You can't even see, you can't even fully see them right there. You can't see all around them. You can't even see what's going on. You fully really don't even see them. I heard people talking about, I heard a man one time, he talked to me, he said he left his body one time. And he said he left his body. He could see himself from outside of his body. And he said he looked down on his own body. He didn't even recognize who he was. From on high. Everybody say from on high. I'm flying across and I see how beautiful everything really is. I had nothing to complain about. I couldn't complain about the flowers, Larry. I couldn't. I was like, man, that's a good job. That's pretty beautiful. Looking from on high, I couldn't see it right here. I couldn't see it from ground level. There are some things that you won't be able to see and won't appreciate and won't know the beauty of until you see it through the way that God sees it from on high. Listen to me. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not, but as high as the heavens. Come on. Above the earth. He always talking about high things. Therefore, I give him a name that is highly exalted above every name. He always talks about high things. Listen to me. There's something that you can't see. You can't really see what's really going on until you get a high view. Until I allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten my eyes. Until I allow the Holy Spirit to take me and let me see something that's bigger than me, I really won't know what it looks like. High thoughts. Everybody say high thoughts. Come on, say it again. Say high thoughts. Come on, say it again. High thoughts. I'm talking about a trick of the enemy because, see, we've got to see on high. You know, when there's something going on in the city or somebody done broke out of something and there's a police chase. You ever seen that on TV? The people can't get away because they got a high view. They might have got the helicopter going around. You can't get away. You can't get away because it's spanning too far. And it's seeing too much. That you couldn't get away. You know, from a high view, sometimes we're walking and we can go around a corner, but a bird's eye view can see what's coming around that corner before you get over there. A high view. Everybody say a high view. Come on, say it again. Say a high view. That high view is the best view. Because you see things that you couldn't see before. I prayed this prayer one time, and I prayed it by accident, to be honest, because I thought I was being deep after I said it. I prayed about accident. I said, Lord, let me see my life through your eyes. Let me see myself through the way that you see me. Because I know you probably see me. I know how I see me. Don't you? I know how I see me. I know all my blemishes, all my flaws. I know all my shortcomings. I know how good I'm not. We already know how we see us. Lord, let me see, because I might be missing something. It's a love of God, right? Look, I might be missing something. Let me see the way you see it. Because you got to have a different vision. Yeah. For you to love me unconditionally, you got to see something that I don't see. Yes. Come on, stick with me. For you to do all the things that you have done for me and to still be keeping me like you're keeping me despite of me, you've got to be seeing something different than what I see. Can I get a vision, please? God, let me see my life through the way that you see it. Because some things I don't get. I don't get it right now. But I know you get it. Let me see it like you see it. Bird's eye view. Up from the sky. The high. You do some research. I ain't got time to go into scriptures because my time ticking. But if you just go and you see how much he talk about high. They even sacrifice in the high places. He said, I'll set up on my watch to see what the Lord is saying to me. To see from on high, to see what the Most High sees about you. And one thing I notice about looking up there, is when I looked down, all I saw was beauty. I ain't see no shortcomings. I ain't see no flaws. I ain't see no mess ups. All the mess ups you see around here. It was beautiful. No flaws. It was beautiful from on high. It amazed me what it looked like from on high. And he told me that the enemy had been trying to trick us to get us to be looking right here and never see on high. So all we see is the flaws and the shortcomings. All we see is everything that's wrong. When you're dealing with people, all you find out is what's wrong with them. Point your finger, look what's wrong with them. Why you don't see what's great about them? But you can't see it unless you see it. He told me God ain't really overly concerned about your flaws. Because he know you got them. That's why he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Not I'm strong in your weakness. My strength is made perfect. He's not overly concerned about your flaws, but the enemy wants you to be concerned about your flaws. Because he know you put your faith in your flaws, you get more flaws. Stop putting your faith, listen. Stop operating out of your flaws. Stop putting your faith in your flaws. Because remember, wherever you put your faith, that's where you're going to have the baby from, right? Yeah. You have intercourse with a flaw, you're going to have a flaw baby. You plant the seed in the flaw, you're going to have a flaw baby. That's where it's going to go. That's how it's going to happen. So don't put your faith in your flaws. Well, can I help you out real quick? Well, what do you mean, Montrell? Well, put my faith in my flaws. Well, you know, and I'm going to be a little transparent and talk a little bit about, you know, I'm gonna say this statement real quick. I'm gonna go work out to lose weight because I don't like the way that I look. I'll make a statement again. All right, and some of y'all, some of us in here too. I'm gonna go work out, work. Faith works, faith is work, right? I'm gonna go work out to lose weight because I don't like the way that I look. Well, I don't like the way I look is a flaw in my mind, right? So now I'm going to work, I'm going to put faith in a flaw, which is why I never get past that.
Right.
Come on, I'm gonna help you. If you listen, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna pray more. All right, listen to what I'm saying. I'm gonna pray more because I don't pray enough. Right? Listen to the statement. I need to pray more because I don't pray enough. Come on, listen to the statement. I need to pray more because I don't, well, you're not praying enough is a flaw. So you can't act out because of a flaw.
Right.
So it's not because of your flaw or fear. It's because of freedom and forward progress.
Yes, yes.
It's because I have, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all got to hear me. It's because I got the freedom. It's a trick, though, because he'll get you doing something because of a flaw, and you go, that's why you don't ever want to pray more. Because you only want to pray, not because you're free to pray, because God loves you so much. You're trying to pray because you got a flaw.
Right.
And now your faith is in the flaw. You're giving. Are you giving? I'm going to give because my bank account ain't got enough in it. Well, that's kind of flaw. That's a flaw, ain't it? Y'all feel like it's a flaw, don't you? So I'm giving out of a flaw and out of fear because I'm scared that I won't have enough. I'm giving because I want more in there because that seems like a flaw. So now your faith keeps going into the flaw. So now when you're giving out of that flaw, it's your heart. Everybody say my heart. Come on, everybody say my heart. We got to turn around. Everybody say, my heart. But because I'm giving out a fear and a flaw, then I keep being fearful and I keep being flawed, and that never grows.
Wow. My God.
Because I'm doing it out of fear and a flaw instead of out of love and freedom.
Yeah.
Stop putting your faith in your flaws. God is not overly concerned about your flaws. If God was concerned about flaws, he wouldn't use nobody. If God had a flaw mentality and was concerned about your flaws, he wouldn't save anybody. Put your faith in the freedom, in the opportunity that you have to go forward. Put your faith there and faith alone. The enemy trying to trick you. Stand on your feet.